Would you share how much you make with coworkers? It might help close the pay gap. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. Today is Equal Pay Day, the day when women, on average, catch up with what their male coworkers earned the previous year. One way people push back against unequal pay is by being transparent about how much they make, like actually sharing that information with coworkers or other people so you can see if there's an unfair pay gap. A new survey commissioned by the American Association of University Women found that younger women are more likely than older women to do this. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has more.
So, how much money do you make? It's such an uncomfortable question to ask and to answer. But Kim Churches, CEO of the American Association of University Women, says salaries should not be secret.
Talking about money in the United States has always been kind of a taboo, and it's been particularly gendered that women are more docile and don't talk about money as much as men do.
But she says talking does help. It's not a cure-all, but it calls attention to inequities and can improve salary negotiations. Ariane Hegovich is with the Institute for Women's Policy Research. She says technology is helping, too.
The biggest change probably comes through the availability of organizations such as Glassdoor or Monster Inc., where you can get salary information. And so you do not come in quite as blindly into a discussion.
18 states and the District of Columbia now ban retaliation against workers who share salary info. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
We're going to get some important numbers this week. Jobs numbers, for one. One jobs report out tomorrow and the official government report out Friday. We've also got some numbers this morning on capital goods. Big ticket items that businesses bought in February, down 1.6%. If you take out the volatile stuff like aircraft, it was down 0.1%. Jay Bryson is managing director and global economist with Wells Fargo Securities. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Capital goods orders, we learned this morning, were down 1.6%. That doesn't sound particularly good if capital goods are a sign of business investments.
So really kind of what it tells us is, you know, the industrial sector has lost momentum over the last few months.
This week, we're going to start seeing some jobs numbers trickle in. In January, we had 300,000 jobs added to the economy. In February, we had 20,000, which was a crazy change. What are you hoping to see this week?
The more important number comes out on Friday. That's the Labor Department's number. And our expectation is, you know, of roughly 160,000. And so if that's where it is, you know, if you take that 300,000 number and the 20,000, you take the average, what is that? That's about 160,000 per month. And that would be a little bit slower than the jobs numbers we were creating, you know, at the end of last year. But still, 160,000 jobs is still per month is still actually a pretty good number.
Jay Bryson is managing director and global economist with Wells Fargo Securities. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
We've been making paper for thousands of years, and then the internet happened. So it was no surprise when paper mills started closing in the late 90s and early 2000s, one by one. But something curious happened. In the village of Combined Locks, Wisconsin, a paper mill reopened and hired back about half of the 600 workers it had laid off. Michael Corkery is a business reporter at the New York Times. He covered this story and is here to talk to us about it. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell us why this paper mill opened back up after it had shut down less than a year before.
Well, there's two things that were happening. The first is something that we're all quite familiar with, which is the enormous amounts of brown paper cardboard boxes that are arriving to our houses from Amazon or other e-commerce retailers. There's a a great demand for brown paper that gets made into these boxes. The other is that the way that this brown paper gets made is by using old cardboard boxes that get recycled. So those get turned into new brown paper that eventually gets turned into new boxes. And the price for that scrap has really declined. There's lots of turbulence in that scrap marketplace related to different changes in Chinese policy and restrictions on imports. So that really helped them lower the cost of their raw material, and it, those two combined factors help this mill get up and running again.
It's interesting that Amazon, which is accused of putting small businesses at a disadvantage, is actually creating work in this case. But this is just one factor you're talking about. I mean, does it matter beyond that one factory?
Definitely. There's been a whole bunch of mills all across the country that were either shut down because paper has been in a long, steady decline for the past few decades, basically since the advent of the internet.
You mentioned China, and I just want to sort of trace out the chain of changes in global flows that are at the root of all of this. So if they're not importing waste cardboard from the U.S. anymore, what are they doing for paper and cardboard?
Chinese companies, so Chinese paper mills, have actually come to the U.S. and bought U.S. paper mills to start producing pulp because it's so hard to get the raw materials into China now. So again, another unexpected twist that China, you know, again, long blamed for destroying American manufacturing jobs, is actually creating them directly by buying up mills in the U.S. and restarting them.
Michael Corkery is a business reporter at the New York Times. It was good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.